What's up, Vineyard Church? How are we doing today? All right. Man, it's a good day. You're just excited because the weather feels good this morning, right? Like, we're just like, be in the moment, enjoy it while we can. We know, let's just not talk about it. It's a good day right now, right? Yeah, it's a good day. Super glad that you are here today. I see some of you got the memo and you're sporting your Hawaiian look today. Love it. We're on the same side today, looking good. Now, I know some of you also got the other memo, because today is, of course, May the 4th, so I am rocking my Grogu socks today, okay? Just, we got to represent both sides, okay? So, all right, here we go. They were not ready for that in the back. Good job, you followed. Didn't know I was going to do that. Hey, if you happen to be a guest, really glad that you chose to spend part of your time with us here at the Vineyard on this weekend. We know there's a lot that you can do with your weekend. You chose to be here. We're honored that you're here. First of all, my name's Keith Shepherd. I'm one of the pastors here, and we hope that you enjoy our service, like as we gather together, whether you're here in the room, whether you're joining us online. But our highest hope is always that you would experience God's presence when we gather together. So I hope that has been the case already and that you continue to experience God's presence for the rest of this morning, for the rest of our time together. Have you, anybody by chance noticed, have you looked around lately and noticed that we live in a big city? Maybe a surprise to some of you. Have you noticed that, like, we live in like a really big metropolitan area? Did you know there's a name for the metropolitan area? It's the Phoenix Mesa Chandler Metropolitan Statistical Area. That's what it's called, like, you know, by the people that come up with those kinds of things because they have nothing better to do. There's over 5 million people in the Phoenix Mesa Chandler. I got to think about it every time I say it. Phoenix Mesa Chandler Metropolitan Statistical Area. Maybe you've noticed when you're making your daily commute to school or to work or whatever with you and 5 million of your closest strangers. Have you ever been in that situation? Do you know, just in the city of Glendale, where we are right now, there is over 260,000 people in the city of Glendale. The city of Glendale is number 89 or 90 in the largest cities, towns in the country. That's out of over 19,000 cities and towns in the United States. We're number 89 or 90. And in the city of Phoenix, I mean, we're well over a million. It's almost 1.7 million people in the city of Phoenix as of last July. And then we got over 500 million in the metro area. It's the 10th largest metropolitan area in the United States. And the city of Phoenix is the 5th largest city in the United States after places like New York, LA, Chicago, and Houston. I mean, no wonder you can't find a parking space at Costco on Saturday morning, right? Listen, I go on Fridays, so don't blame me, okay? It's not great on Fridays either. But in spite of our proximity to each other, in spite of all of the people that are literally around us all of the time, it's still pretty easy to feel very alone, right? Now, maybe you've noticed, and if you haven't, take a look around real quick. We go to a big church on any given weekend. Several thousand people come and go through these doors, which is awesome. It's great that God is using this place to impact so many lives. But even like right here, right now, sitting shoulder to shoulder with hundreds of other people, it's still pretty easy to feel disconnected, right? Like you're in the middle of everything, but maybe nobody really sees you. Do you ever feel like that? Does that ever hit you? That feeling of being alone even though you're surrounded? You know, maybe it's life. Maybe life is just, you know, you're trying to keep all of the plates spinning, right? You know, you've got work over here and then kids over here and then, oh, the bills, they're over here. I got to keep that plate spinning too. And then over here, oh, that's that noise that the car is making again that the mechanic can't ever seem to duplicate, right? And we're just trying to keep them all up in the air at the same time. Feels like it's all on you. Maybe right now you're walking through something difficult in your life, something that weighs heavily on your heart. You look around, you wonder, is anybody else struggling? Does anybody else get this? Does anyone really see me? Does anybody know what I'm going through? Am I the only one? Listen, if you've ever felt that way, if you feel that way right now, first of all, I want to tell you right up front, you're normal. That's a normal human experience. And we see it all throughout history, and we see it in the Bible. Even somebody like King David, who the Bible describes as a man after God's own heart. When you read some of the Psalms, you see these moments where he cries out, feeling forgotten and alone. It's a very human feeling. We live in a day and age where we are both more connected than ever through things like social media and things like that. But we are also more disconnected than ever, lacking true close relationships. We feel more alone than ever. Now, there is a big difference between a feeling that we might have and the actual truth of our situation, okay? Our feelings don't always tell us the truth. You might want to write that down. Our feelings don't always tell us the truth. And I think it's super important that we know the difference because, see, there's this narrative. There's this little whisper that can creep in. You know, especially when we're feeling down, especially when we're feeling vulnerable. It's a tactic that the enemy uses really effectively against us, trying to convince us of something that's not true. It's a lie that the enemy whispers to us. He says, "You are alone in this. Nobody else understands. You're the only one who struggles with this. You're the only one who feels this way. You're the only one who made this mistake. You're the only one who has this doubt." And just from my own personal experience, both as a pastor and as a follower of Christ for most of my life, but also just a human being experiencing very human-y, real-life things, I believe one of the devil's greatest tricks is convincing us that we're alone, convincing me that I'm the only one. It's a trick that he uses to keep us isolated and to keep us from forming deep connections. Connections that can give us hope, connections that can bring us healing, connections that can help us make it from just one day to the next, connections that can eventually lead to freedom. So today, we're going to spend our time focusing on two foundational truths to break the power of the enemy's lies. Truth number one, I'm never truly alone because God is always with me. Truth number two is I am not the only one because God designed me for community. And understanding and living out these truths, that's where real connection happens. That's when things start to change in our lives. That's where we thrive. And here at the Vineyard, the primary way that we help people live this out is through our small groups. Going to come back to that a little bit later. First, let's dive into that first truth. Truth number one, I'm never alone. God is always with me. This is the absolute foundation. Before we even talk about connecting with other people, we have to grasp this. The creator of the universe, the God who spoke galaxies into existence, is intimately present with you right now. Think about that for a moment. The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present with no beginning and no end, God of all the universe, he looked at all that he had ever made. He looked at all that he had already thought up and created. He looked at everything that exists right now, everything that ever has existed, everything that ever will exist. And he looked at all of the amazingness of all of creation. And he said, there's something missing. It's you. He looked at the beauty of a waterfall, at the intricacy of a butterfly, the awesomeness of galaxies and stars. And he said, there's something missing. I know what it is. And then he thought you up, and he made you. He thought you up, and he made you. He thought you up, and he made you. Just breathe that in for a moment. God thought you up and made you and gave you life on this earth to be with you, to be present with you. And then look at this promise from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. God himself says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Amen. Did you catch that? He didn't just say, I won't leave you. He doubles down. I'll never fail you. I will never abandon you. God is saying that is not happening ever. Jesus' parting words to his disciples in Matthew 28 were, be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is how he wraps up his absolute final command, his final direction to his followers. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not just sometimes, not just when you're feeling good or doing everything right, always. We should take great comfort in that promise. Jesus is saying, look, I'm in charge of it all, so now you go and change the world. The stuff I've been doing, that's yours now. Go do it. Go do it and go duplicate yourselves. Go make more of yourselves. But know this, I am with you. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, I am with you always. A great picture of this is in Psalm 139. David writes this incredible song. You should read the whole psalm later today. He basically says, God, you know everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my thoughts before I even think them. You hem me in, both behind and before. Then in verses 7 and 8, he says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. Let that sink in. And listen, don't fall for the trap of, you know, whoa, hey, God, that's a little creepy. God's always watching. That's missing the heart behind this. See, it's not about surveillance, okay? It's not about God watching you to see when you mess up. It's about companionship. It's about presence. It means that God chooses to be near you. He wants to be involved in the details of your life. So what does this mean for you sitting here today, maybe wondering about a situation at work or worrying about a family issue or a health concern? It means that God sees you. God knows what's happening. You're not just a part of a mass of people in a room. God doesn't just see a mass of people in a room. He sees you individually and what's going on in your life right now. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Some of us have been working on making it easier for him to count. I just figure that if he's counting less, then that's more time I get with him, right? Some of you took it to the next level. Like, you just, like, it's just, I'm not there yet. He knows that pressure you're feeling. He knows that secret joy that you haven't shared yet. He knows that nagging fear. Yeah, he knows that thing you did last week that you regret. He knows that dream that you barely dare to admit to even yourself. He knows it all. And he hasn't run away. He knows it all. And he hasn't turned his back. He hasn't said, hey, whoa, you're too much. He is with you right here, right now. Lean into that. Just take a moment and breathe that in. Just a nice, deep, full breath of God's presence. You have a constant, loving, divine companion. That's amazing. Just knowing that God is always, always there. And honestly, his presence is sufficient. That all by itself is enough. But God, in his incredible and unlimited wisdom and generosity, didn't stop there. He looked at Adam. He looked at the first man that he created in the Garden of Eden, in this perfect place, a perfect human in a perfect relationship with a perfect God, in a perfect place where heaven and earth touch. And he said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." The man who already had a perfect relationship with his creator. That one, it's not good for him to be alone. God knew that we needed more. He didn't design us to just have a relationship with him in isolation. He hardwired us for connection, for community, for relationship with each other. And that brings us to our second truth that we need to grab hold of today. Truth number two, I am not the only one. God designed me for community. This tackles the second part of that lie, the part that whispers, yeah, God might be there, but no person gets it. Nobody understands my specific situation. I'm the only one feeling this lonely. I'm the only one struggling with this sin. I'm the only one asking this question. I'm the only one going through this trial. And the truth is, that is a lie. I think we can agree on that, because if you just think about the sheer number of people who just call this church home, and you think about the life experiences that are all packed into just this community right now, the odds are incredibly high that someone else here, probably even right now, either is facing or has faced something similar to what you're facing. The odds are incredibly high that someone else who calls Vineyard Church North Phoenix home has had that same struggle, has wrestled with that same doubt, has a child who is far from God, has that same fear, has worried about paying all the bills, has lost their mom, their dad, their spouse, their child, has repented of the same sin. Look around this room right now. Online, look at all those names in the chat. Look at that number in the corner of the screen. Think about the variety of life stories, experiences, struggles, and triumphs that are represented right here, right now. That voice telling you that you're the only one, that couldn't possibly be true. It's trying to keep you isolated in your experience, and it's simply not true. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, when, not if, when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The temptations that we face, the struggles that we face, they are no different from what others experience. What you're going through right now might feel unique in the details, but the underlying human experience, the fear, the doubt, the joy, the pain, the confusion, that's shared. Someone in our church family, maybe someone who will be sitting in your small group circle this week, has walked a path similar to yours. Someone has faced the financial pressure that you're feeling. Someone has wrestled with parenting a strong-willed child. Someone has navigated the complexities of marriage or the challenges of singleness. Someone has asked those hard questions about faith that you're afraid to voice. Someone has lost a job. Someone has started a business. Someone has celebrated a huge milestone. Someone has walked through deep grief. You are not the only one. And moreover, you are not designed to navigate anything alone. God said it is not good for the man to be alone. The book of Ecclesiastes puts it this way: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Life happens. Life throws curveballs. We stumble. We fall. God's design is that we wouldn't be left there lying all alone. He wants us to have people who can help pick us up. That cord of three strands, that's you, that's another person, and God. Woven together, that is a picture of strength and support that can withstand the pressures of life. And how do we live this out? Paul reminds us in Galatians, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now, how can we possibly share each other's burdens if we never know what they are? If I keep everything locked up inside, convinced that I'm the only one, how can anyone possibly share my burdens? We're designed for relationship with each other. And this requires a little bit of courage. It requires a little bit of vulnerability. It means being willing in a safe and appropriate space to take off a mask and to sometimes say, hey, I'm struggling. Can you pray for me about this? And let me tell you, there is incredible power released when that happens in a community that's built on trust and grace. When you finally share a thing that you thought just made you weird, or you thought just meant that you were broken, and someone else looks across the room and says, me too. That isolation shatters. The burden feels lighter. You realize, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm not alone. This is where our small groups come in. This is the primary environment that we create here at the Vineyard to foster these kinds of connections. I mean, Saturday nights, Sunday mornings, they're great. They're fantastic. We get to worship together. We get to hear God's word together, but it's hard to really know people. It's hard to really be known by people in a room this size. Small groups are where we move from rows into circles. Small groups are places where people genuinely pray for each other because they know the specifics. Small groups are a place where you can get advice or even just encouragement from someone who's maybe a few steps ahead of you on the same path. Small groups are a place where you find people who will celebrate your wins like they are their own. Small groups are a place where you find people who aren't afraid to ask how you are really doing. We need people in our lives like that. Because listen, we're all well practiced, right? We do it all the time. We say it all the time. Hey, how are you? I'm great. Everything is wonderful. And then we believe the lie. We're like, awesome, fantastic. I'm going to keep going. We all do it. We all need people in our lives who can say, hey, how are you, really? We need people in our lives who we can say to, hey, how are you doing, really? Small groups are a place where we can be that person for someone else. It's not just about receiving. It's a place where you can practice using your spiritual gifts to encourage someone else. It's a place where you can find accountability, the good kind of accountability, to help you keep growing closer to Jesus. It's a place where people can celebrate with you your victories, and ultimately it's a place to belong, to be known, to be supported, to be challenged, to be loved. Small groups are a place where we get to practice being the church to and for each other. So we have these two giant truths. God is always with you, and you are not alone. Community is his design. The question then becomes, what keeps us from stepping into that community? What stops us from joining a small group if we aren't already in one? Look, there's a lot of things that could be the problem. Maybe it's busyness. You know, maybe you're just thinking, Pastor Keith, you have no idea how busy my life is. My schedule is just completely full. Hey, I get it. Life is full. But can I challenge that a little bit? We tend to make time for the things that we want to make time for. We figure out a way to do the things that we really want to do in spite of our busyness. How important is deep connection? How important is fostering spiritual growth in your own life? If it's important, we're going to figure out a way to make time for it. We make time for what we value. And listen, I believe that God is not only the God of the universe and the God of all creation, I believe he's the God of time as well. He's the God of math. And somehow in God's math, when we give him the time we don't think we have, he makes it work out. It might mean rearranging something, but the investment is worth it. You know, maybe you're an introvert. Maybe you're just thinking, hey, look, I'm just not a group person, okay? Crowds drain me. Hey, same bestie. I hear you. I am an introvert. I fake it really well up here, I know. I love people. I love meeting new people. It's exciting for me to, like, be in the mix of all of it, but it drains me. This drains my internal batteries. But I got to tell you, years ago, when Allison and I, my wife and I, first went to a small group, we didn't really want to, but we knew that we needed to. We felt a deep desire. We were a young married couple. We wanted to connect with other young married couples. We first did that in our mid-20s. We met some other young married couples, and listen, as we did, we made lifelong friendships that have stood the tests of time and geography and all kinds of life changes. And hey, not all of our small groups are loud parties. Most of them are pretty quiet places. Small, intimate spaces. There's different sizes. There's different styles. Don't assume that all of our small groups are the same. Find one that fits your personality. But maybe the thing that keeps you from joining a small group is fear. Maybe it's fear of being vulnerable, fear of judgment, fear of not fitting in. Maybe you're afraid that you're going to show up and find out that they're all weird. Maybe you're afraid you're going to show up and find out that they're not all weird and you're weird. Just keep looking. There's a weird one out there for you. Don't let fear hold you back from what God might have in store for you. Maybe you've had a bad experience in the past. And listen, if that's the case, first of all, I am genuinely sorry that that happened. Small groups are great. Our leaders work hard to create safe and welcoming environments, but our groups are made up of people. People are imperfect. And sometimes we don't get it right. But please don't let a past hurt keep you from a future blessing that God might have in store for you in community. Give it another try. Ultimately, you have a choice to make. You can continue listening to that lie of isolation. You can stay on the sidelines and maybe feel comfortable there, but disconnected. Or you can choose to believe God's truth and take a step of faith and pursue the connection that he designed for you and that he desires for you. It is not just about getting support. It is also about being that support that God wants you to be for someone else too. We are the body of Christ and we need each other. And listen, today There's literally never been an easier time to take that step today, right now, because it is our small group fair. This is your one-stop shop to find your people. So here's what I want you to do. Immediately after the service, don't rush to your car. You can't miss the small group fair. It's literally between the doors in the parking lot. We put it in your way on purpose. Because I know you. You can't miss it. Those tables out there in the hardscape represent dozens of small groups, real people, real leaders, ready to meet you right where you are at. And there are groups literally for everyone. Men's groups, women's groups, couples groups, singles groups, groups for young adults, groups for youth, groups for families with kids, groups meeting in homes all over the valley, Glendale, Phoenix, Peoria, Avondale, Surprise, groups meeting online if that works better for you, online family. You need to be in a small group. Listen, if they haven't already, one of our hosts is going to drop the link in the chat for the small groups page on our website. And there's all kinds of little filter options. And one of those options is for groups that are online or in person. And if the need in your life right now is an online group, we have an online group for you. We need to do the work to find a way to get connected. We have groups focused on Bible study. We have groups focused on prayer. Groups focused on common interest. We have groups focused on recovery. Groups focused on specific stages of life. So your mission is just go and look. Seriously, no pressure. Just go walk around. Talk to a leader at a table that looks interesting. Ask questions. They are super friendly people. They would love to help you connect. Find one or two or three or four that spark your interest and take their cards. Just take a stack of small group cards. We print tons of them just for this. Take some cards with you. Take them home and pray about it this week. But please take the first step today. Walk out there, engage, see what God might have for you. And here's a little bonus. We wanted to make it a true fair. So we got our youth ministry out there running games for the kids if you've got your little ones with you. They are selling breakfast burritos because I know how much of a hurry you were in on the way this morning and you didn't get a chance to eat. So they're selling breakfast burritos. They're selling some snacks and some youth merch because they're raising money for camp for this summer. So by participating in our small group fair, by buying some food, buying a shirt, you're going to help send a kid to camp this summer. They're also raffling off a couple of bikes. $1 gets you a raffle ticket for a chance to win a bike. And a little bit of your time gives you the opportunity to connect with other people in deeper community. So here's what we're going to do as we wrap up right now. First of all, small group leaders, if you're still in here, go ahead, get out there, get ready, okay? Second of all, ministry team members. In the room, would you go ahead and make your way down to the front just so that you are ready to receive people for prayer this morning? So going to be a little bit of shuffling as some people step out, some people come down to the front. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes praying because I believe that God wants to do something today in your life. And I want to speak specifically to those issues, the feeling of aloneness that you might be experiencing. Maybe there is just this deep sense of disconnection, of isolation that you can't even fully put into words. You just feel so alone. Maybe like God, if he's even there, doesn't even care. And so first of all, I want to break that lie. God is there and he absolutely does care. But I get it if you're feeling like maybe he doesn't. And so would you just now in a moment, let's turn ourselves to God in a moment of prayer. If it's easier, bow your head, close your eyes, just to block out any distractions so that you can just focus on this moment between you and God. Father God, I lift up to you those who are experiencing such severe isolation, such severe aloneness in their lives. And I pray that right here, right now, Holy Spirit, that you would move, you would stir their hearts, that they would even feel something that they can't explain from you, God, and that you would begin to break the power of isolation. God, would you remind them that, like your word says, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, that you looked out over all the universe, over all creation, and you thought they were missing. So you thought them up and you made them. And God, for those who need to take a step out of fear and move into a place of connecting with other people, would you give them the courage they need to take that step today? You didn't design us to walk this life alone. So God, come alongside us as we choose to step into connection, as we choose to step into community. If you're able to, would you please stand now? And listen, if any of those issues, that aloneness, that need for connection, anything else honestly going on in your life is like, hey, I could really use God stepping into my life right now, this team up here, our ministry team, would absolutely be thrilled. Like, I'm telling you, it would make their day to pray for you, for whatever it is in your life. Online, clicking the prayer button would help you get into a private one-on-one chat with one of our host team members, and they'd love to do that for you. Okay, you have your mission, you have your homework. Don't go out the side doors, go out those doors. Check out some small groups, support some youth kids, and let me just pray a quick blessing over you. God, we thank you for our time together. I pray your blessings over all gathered here in the room, all gathered online, that you would go with us, that you would help us to take those steps to make connection beginning today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.